The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brockler, hour three of four here on the George Show, 710 KNUS. Weather today, 83 degrees, climbing up a little bit tomorrow, but then it cools off Friday with storms. That is going to be a homecoming evening for Rock Canyon, who now sit at number 9 in the state of Colorado for 5A football. I don't know how high these guys can climb. Let me tell you, by the way, for those of you that follow football, high school football at all, well, it doesn't matter. If you don't, I'm sorry. Just suffer through this. Regis is 2-3. That means they've lost three games, which happens to be more games than they've won. They're ranked like 5th in the state. Huh? What? I mean, one of their victories was over Valor, so that means they're losing to three teams that aren't Valor. What kind of team can be under 500 and still be ranked in the top 10, top 20? In any sport. I mean, that tells you how broken this ranking system is. Nonetheless, the 5-0, that means they haven't lost to anybody yet, knock on wood. Rock Canyon Jags, they're going to be playing their homecoming game against the Highlands Ranch. And I cannot remember the mascot. I think it's the Foot, the Highlands Ranch Foot. They'll be playing that on Friday. Rain expected in the evenings. And then, of course, on Saturday, really a lot cooler, down at 67 degrees. Listen, 9 o'clock hour, we're going to have on Steve Wells. You have started to hear about Steve, the man, the myth, the legend. He is going to start a little bit of a media tour here with us in studio, which is fantastic for me. Steve may be, single-handedly dragging us over the goal line into the end zone. Now, there's been a lot of effort by a lot of people to put Republicans in a place to win, but I'm not sure it was going to be enough without a guy like Steve Wells. A tremendous story, but also a tremendous guy. And listening to him and sort of his motivations for wanting to do this, and I don't know if you can call any aspect of this selfish other than that he wants to save Colorado, but we're going to have a conversation with him in studio at 9 o'clock. We had been talking about this, whether or not Biden was, disrespecting DeSantis or Florida. It turns out everybody now says that, of course, last night Ron DeSantis got a call from the president. It was after he'd called a bunch of other people, not Ron DeSantis. And so we had a conversation about that. I want to shift gears to this. As we head into November, I think everybody anticipates some kind of October surprise for each of the major candidates in a race. There's only a limited amount of media bandwidth out there to hit people with. So not everybody on the ballot can have an October surprise. It's just not enough. But when you talk about U.S. Senate or governor, man, that's where people start to come out of the woodwork. And lo and behold, we're seeing that in Pennsylvania. Now, that's a critical state for Republicans to try to win the governorship of, and they haven't done a very good job of it. So the legislature is firmly in the hands of the Republicans, but they continue to tend to vote for Democrat governors. Not universally, but man, it feels like a lot lately. And so enter this open seat race. The Democrat nominee is the attorney general out there, a guy named Josh Shapiro. Phil Weiser's a big fan of his. They hug it out every time they get a chance to. He's the Democrat nominee. The Republican nominee is a guy named Doug Mastriano. Doug is a retired colonel, I think, from the reserve. I think that dude may also have been a JAG officer. I'm not sure. But he is also a graduate of the Army War College. I know that because somebody told me that when I was out there. He's the nominee, and he is struggling in fundraising, struggling in numbers. Now, he was endorsed by the president, President Trump, and that's how he ended up winning the primary. But since then, he has really, really been challenged to get any sort of traction here. And for anyone that had hopes that he was going to be able to mount a surge here at the end and upset the front runner, Josh Shapiro, I think the revelations of the last 24 or 48 hours ought to dampen those spirits quite a bit. But it lends itself to a discussion here that I think could be part of a discussion that the mainstream media forces on Republican candidates everywhere. And so here's what happens. You know Dobbs. You know that Dobbs was a Supreme Court decision that earlier this year overturned Roe versus Wade and Casey and has made the abortion issue one of some real focus for Democrat groups as they try to encourage largely women voters, not all women, not just women voters, but women voters, to become interested in this midterm election and to make abortion and abortion rights a central feature of an election in which it's not really on the ballot in too many places. Here in Colorado, for instance, as you know, our legislature forced upon us the most liberal abortion laws, I think, on the planet Earth, certainly in the country. Like, you can terminate a baby as it's coming out of the womb, maybe even moments thereafter, and call it an abortion. And we'll get to that part. But in Pennsylvania, it isn't that way. There is like a 24-week law in place. But when Doug Mastriano was not the Republican nominee for governor, but instead a state senator back in 2019, he sponsored a bill. It was like a, I don't know if it was a heartbeat bill, a fetal heartbeat bill, or maybe it carved it back. Yeah, it was a heartbeat bill. And heartbeat bill said that, hey, once the heartbeat starts, usually around 6 weeks, that's when you ought to derail any opportunity for an abortion to prevent it. And so he gave some interviews back in 2019. Now, those interviews obviously were in public. It's not like this was something he kept secret or he was caught saying at a cocktail party or, you know, something like that. This is a guy who went out and said this in public. And so it's been out there and known, and that creates some other issues. But now it is given new life. New life in Pennsylvania because this clip is being used to beat him like a baby harp seal over the issue of abortion. Take a listen to this exchange.
Would that woman who decided to have an abortion, which would be considered an illegal abortion, be charged with murder?
Okay, let's go back to the basic question there. Is that a human being? Is that a little boy or girl? If it is, it deserves equal protection under the law.
So you're saying yes?
Yes, I am.
So listen, that's the clip that's getting all the play. And in fact, later on in that interview, Doug Mastriano also says he thinks that doctors who perform abortions ought to be charged with murder as well. So you can imagine what the left does with this. The left turns this into ads and talking points to suggest that the Republican nominee for governor in the state of Pennsylvania wants to prosecute for murder women that have abortions and doctors that help perform them. That is not going to help him win. In fact, I think this is probably the nail in the coffin. If there wasn't one there already, this is it. This is the end. Not because Pennsylvania is a pro-abortion state, but because they're not a right to life at 6 weeks state. And they're never going to be. And neither is Colorado. But the problem that it creates is this now forces us to have this conversation. And maybe it's one that we should have had anyway. A conversation right before the midterms that I think the mainstream media could use with even our candidates. And the conversation would be, and this is where my hat's off to Doug Mastriano, whether you agree or disagree with him, that is a principled position. It may not be the one you agree with, but if you get to the point of concluding, as Doug did, and he says, listen, if somebody says that is a human life, then don't we have to use the law to protect that human life? Don't we have to declare the termination of that life, whether it is inside or outside someone, murder? Don't we have to do that? And if there's a person helping to end that human life, isn't that person also a murderer too? That's the doctor. Incredibly controversial statement for a huge chunk, the vast majority, I imagine, of Americans, because you don't find the vast majority of Americans supporting an outright abortion ban in all circumstances. Now, of course, they'd also don't support the nonsense we have here in Colorado by way of being able to abort a baby as it's coming out of the mother or shortly thereafter. They don't support that either. But this comment, the idea that we should be prosecuting mothers who have abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected or after they're declared to be at least a human being, that should be treated as murder. And isn't that the question? If you're Kyle Clark or someone else on the political left and you want to get the Republicans on record, don't you confront them with that? Like, do you agree with the statement by the Republican nominee for governor out there in Pennsylvania that if this is a life, they don't even have to refer to Mastriano. They could just say, do you agree that that they should be prosecuted for murder? If not, why not? Like, if it's not a life, if it's not a human life, then why are we protecting it? if it is a human life, don't we have to consider prosecution for it? Isn't that the question that the media asks? And how do we respond to that? If you're out there and you're a pro-life person, how do you respond to that? If somebody has an abortion, let's say that there's a law for 24 weeks or 15 weeks, which I think was the Mississippi law that it was at 12 or 15 weeks that the Supreme Court in the Dobbs decision used to overturn Roe and Casey. If you have an abortion after that, should that mother be prosecuted for murder? 303-696-1971. I'm interested in knowing, because as a matter of principle, how do you then justify saying, nope, it's not murder, so we should prohibit her from having it because it could be a life at some point? Is that the distinction? I'm honestly, right now, this is how the sausage gets made between my big old ears, and that is I'm trying to figure out how do you respond to this. For Doug Mastriano, I presume it was a matter of principle. Now, I'm guessing he's going to run away from this answer. I'm guessing he's going to try to create some distinction between this answer and where he is at presently, because he knows this is a vote-killing answer for him. Not with Republicans, not with conservatives as much, but with independent, unaffiliated women. That's my guess. If they thought they were going to be prosecuted with murder, right? So what do we do with this? How do you answer this question? If you're Doug Mastriano and you're asked this question, should a woman who has an abortion past a certain date, whatever that date is in the law, be prosecuted for murder? Should the doctor who performs it be prosecuted for murder? Should that be the case? 303-696-1971. I'm interested in the answer. This has been such a driving force for Republicans for so many years, as we've said, hey, if we just got the right mix of Supreme Court justices, we could get this out of the courts and back onto the ballots, and states could then decide for themselves. Well, even though the voters of Colorado weren't entrusted to make the decision here in Colorado, the lefty legislature made the decision for us. It's still on the books, man. It's still part of the Republic-Democrat process here, and it's on the books. So now what? I mean, if you're part of a state that has an abortion ban after a certain period of time, is murder the right answer? Is this going to make a difference? Some text coming in. I think Republicans need to win the debate before they can make policy. This revolves around abortion, economy, climate change, or whatever. What they haven't done is present any strong counter argument in either. All they do is ask the libs not to be crazy. It is a sad position and weak, which is why there is just gently here misspelled, is so much alignment towards Trump and against people like McConnell. I don't get why it drives people to align with Trump, Texter. I don't understand what that means. All they do is ask the libs not to be crazy, sad position and weak, which is why there is so much alignment towards Trump. I don't get that. Are you saying they're aligning towards Trump because they have no counter answer and Trump just continues to call out the libs for being weak? Is that what it is? And they're against people like McConnell? I guess I'm not understanding. But you can call us too, by the way, 303-696-1971. This is an issue that could move the dial. I think it's the end of Mastriano in Pennsylvania. If he wasn't done already, it's over because of these resurfaced things. This does feel like the October surprise. I mean, the media tries to make it sound like, oh my gosh, these crazy, you know, comments from years ago have been unearthed. They've researched. Come on, man. You know the Dems knew about this. You also know that the whole point of the primary is to vet candidates for their kookiness, for their commitment to whatever the party's platform is, to their general, I guess, likability for the voting populace within that party. But whatever took place in Pennsylvania in that vetting process for the primary, apparently these quotes were saved. If they were known, if someone had done Oppo research on their own candidate and hung on to these hoping against hope that no one would know, that's dumb, man. You never do that. Don't ever underestimate your opponents. And so this thing surfaces and now it's out there. And I just wonder if it's going to make any difference here in the state of Colorado. I wonder, I mean, the easy out, if you're Joe O'Day and you get confronted with this, the easy out is, hey, I'm not the guy that says that we ought to end abortions and all things. I'm the guy that says that, hey, there's this There's this role to be played. I'm opposed to it. My wife's opposed to it. We're Catholic. We don't believe in it. We would never do it. But that's different than saying it's got to be policy enshrined in law and Roe versus Wade and whether he – I mean, I think he's got some answers. But what do you say if you're Heidi Ganahl, if you're confronted with this? Do you say, no, I don't think this is murder. I disagree with abortion, but here's why. Isn't this the principled position that Mastriano has taken? If you think the law ought to prevent abortion, does that commit you to saying, I then think people who do it ought to be prosecuted for murder? Or is there something in between? 303-696-1971. I'm interested in this topic because I had written it off so much earlier in the election cycle after Dobbs. I just thought, nope, people are going to be so focused on the economy. They're going to be so focused on the fact that right now their car is being stolen in the state of Colorado. This won't be an issue that they confront. But let's get to the phone lines at 303-696-1971. Not before I tell you about Gabe Ribble. Listen, I know the real estate market is changing rapidly. I just saw an article that says that prices are cooling off on homes across the country, but Denver ranks fifth out of the top 10 for market cool down. Okay, now what? Does that make it less likely you'll move, more likely you'll move? Because you can get out of your house, but maybe not for as much as you thought, but you can get into the other house for less than you thought you'd have to come up with. These are complicated issues. You shouldn't have to make them on your own. Call a friend. Like the old Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Use your lifeline. Call Gay Ribble. She is the lifeline for real estate decisions in this market, not just because she's been doing it for decades here and she grew up here and she knows everybody and she's got 15,000 buyers in waiting to look at and purchase your home, not just because she's navigated every kind of real estate market, but because you need someone you can trust. And here's why you know you can trust Gay. She puts it in writing, man. She promises to sell your house at a certain time for a certain dollar amount. And if that doesn't happen, they back up that guarantee by making up the difference. Who does that? Who does that in this economy anymore? It's better than just a handshake. It's a handshake plus she signs the document with her name. You've got to call her and her team, and that's the Keller Williams Realty, the Empower team with Keller Williams Realty DTC. Give them a call. My hope is that when you call them and everything works out, you reach out and tell us about it. You can tell the sales staff. You can reach out and text us. You can call me, email me, and I've had a few of those already, which is great. It just makes me feel good that folks listen and they say, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot. Maybe George isn't too cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And when you do, people come away and go, thank God I did that. She was the best. Call her today, 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD. Or you can check her out online at gayhasthebuyers.com, because she does. Gay, G-A-Y-E, hasthebuyers.com. Now listen, the phone lines are starting to fill up here. I want to give them a chance to do that. I'm going to cut away for a quick break. When we come back, answer me this question. Is this the principal position to take, or is there something else? Is this going to make a difference heading into November? Has Doug Mastriano just lost the Pennsylvania governorship, and has he created, in essence, an issue that other Republicans are going to have to navigate heading into the ballots going out in just a couple weeks? George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. Going the distance right here on 710 KNUS, George Brockler with you, going to the phone lines at 303-696-1971. Chuck, you're on. And Chuck, do you go by Chuck, Charles, Charlie? Have you ever gone with some variation of that name? Just Chuck?
No, actually, I've always been Chuck, and my father was always Charlie.
Interesting. And so you were never Charlie Jr. or Chaz? I've known people who are Chaz.
No, Chuck.
Chuck is a nice one. Do you get this a lot? What's up, Chuck?
Yeah. Yeah, that has.
Chuck, tell us what you're thinking.
All right. I'm a little, ticked off or whatever that this guy is in so much trouble for saying that abortion is murder. Because let's say there's a crime committed and some miscreant kills a woman. And later, the autopsy, whatever, they find out that she was pregnant. All of a sudden, now he's going to be charged with two counts of murder.
Why do you say that? Where do you think that's true?
Because any news item you ever read, if the woman that's killed is pregnant, the guy is now, or the person, the murderer, is charged with two counts of murder.
Yeah,
one for the woman and one for the for the infant.
Chuck,
in the womb.
If you've heard that, it hasn't been Colorado, because that's just not true here. I'd be interested to know what's, and I'm not saying a state couldn't try to do that. I just think it would be challenging. We don't have that here. There have been efforts to try to increase penalties for people that kill someone or intentionally and wrongfully terminate a pregnancy. Those things exist. But I am not aware of someone who has killed a pregnant person and been charged with murder for the loss of the unborn baby. I am not aware of that. But does that factor into your analysis for this when you listen to Mastriano's comments?
Well, yes, because I do. Well, I just do think it's murder.
Do you? So I mean, you agree? Human, you agree with Mastriano when he says that a woman who has an abortion past whatever that legal cutoff is in statute should be prosecuted with murder?
Right. Once, I think the time limit should be very short.
What does that mean?
Right?
What's very short to you?
6 to 12 weeks. Once you find out if you're pregnant, you have let's give you a little bit of time to figure out if you want an abortion. But for crying out loud, if you're 6 months pregnant, you say all of a sudden, now I want an abortion.
Well,
that doesn't. That's
how
mur-
could you?
Yeah.
Entertain this, Chuck. How could you have an abortion if you don't know you're pregnant? I mean, you'd have to have found out, right? I mean,
well, right. But if you're 6 months pregnant, you obviously know you're pregnant.
Of course, of course. But my it's six weeks. The problem with the 6 weeks thing, at least what I've heard from critics, is that there are a number of women out there, a huge chunk, that are like, I didn't know I was pregnant until, you know, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks.
Well, I personally, I think the heartbeat guideline is the way to go.
Wow, 6 weeks is pretty early.
Once that infant has a heartbeat, then.
And would you also then prosecute doctors for murder as well?
Yes.
Now listen, here's the challenging part with that, and I appreciate the candor. Here's the challenging part with that. Do you think that is a political winner, here or anywhere? Do you think that's a political winner?
Politics aside, I think it's a moral winner.
Okay, well, listen, there's that, of course, right? And Mastriano, I think that's, at least in 2019, that's what Mastriano was saying, was as a matter of principle, if you believe this is a human life and that act ends it, you got to treat it like murder. I think that's what he had the courage to say back then. My guess is he's going to try to either not answer or run away from that comment now, because politically he recognizes, and I think your hesitation is indicative of this too, it's a political loser. It's a killer for us being Republicans or conservatives. It's a killer. You believe
that? Like you just said, does he... Will he have the moral courage to stand up to it?
Well, I think he's going to try to massage it and run away from it. But if you're Doug Mastriano,
well,
if you're the guy running for office, do you think this helps or hurts you with the voters?
Wow. Well, I mean, look at whatever the percentages are of people in the country who believe in abortion or believe it's a human life. I don't think you're going to sway anybody either way by saying that. There are going to be people that are on your side and people that, you know, don't agree with you. I don't think it's going to change anybody's mind.
I wonder if this is the kind of thing, though, that puts... Do you think it can be fashioned into an argument or a question for Republican candidates that could derail their candidacy as we head into the midterms here? I mean, is this the kind of thing that... Like, what's the answer to get out from under this? If you're a pro-life person, as a matter of principle, and it sounds like you are, Chuck, and I get that.
Absolutely.
If you're asked, listen, if you think you're ending a life by having an abortion after the heartbeat, how can you not support murder? How do you get away with making that argument?
You can. You have to. Yeah, that's what you have to. You have to stand up for your principles.
Yeah.
Okay, so if that means you don't get elected. There again, politicians, all they do is, say whatever they want, think you want to hear from them. I'm just not that kind of person, which obviously I would never.
Well, Chuck, are you a person that says that there should be no exceptions for abortion?
No, I'm not.
Why not?
No, I mean, they talk about, you know, rape and incest and stuff like that. However, I would still stick with the heartbeat.
Well, Chuck, let's do this then. Let's have that part of that conversation. if someone is raped or it's a product of incest and they're pregnant, why then would that not also be murder? If you allowed the termination of that unborn baby, why isn't that murder too? Is the life not treated the same because of how it was created?
If you still go with the heart, I mean, if I could understand how, if because that the rape and incest are crimes,
right?
So
yeah, it's tough, isn't it, man? Isn't it tough, Chuck? I can. Yeah, and by the way, I respect that. There is no knee-jerk reaction to this, because if you're a person of principle and you're pro-life, once the heart starts beating, how the heart started beating is irrelevant, isn't it?
True. True.
So what
However,
do you do with
you're
that?
You're going to know things about this, and you're going to have time to make a decision before that. Forcing the woman, the girl, whatever, to go through with the pregnancy and the trauma of all that, and do I keep it? Do I give it for adoption? I mean, that's a lot of mental stress.
Yes, it is. But again, doesn't defeat the heartbeat, right? Like, and if the answer is, hey, someone knows they're raped right after they've been raped, and we should really put the burden on them to take some sort of abortifacient or something like that
Exactly. Immediately
thereafter.
Right.
I don't know, man. I don't know if you can hold someone accountable to that.
But how? I mean, it doesn't take you that long to decide.
No, right? But I could see somebody who's a victim of a rape not thinking to themselves, I'm going to get pregnant. I better take steps to do that. Now, let's just say for whatever, because trauma affects everybody differently, right? Let's just say you get a victim
right. Who,
for whatever reason, gets to that point after their victimization where they discover that they're pregnant. And oh, by the way, it's after there's a heartbeat. Do you tell that person, I'm so sorry, but the value of that unborn life in there is such, as a matter of principle, that you're just going to have to carry it to term? I cannot give you an exception. Same thing for incest. Simply can't create an exception for you. Sorry.
This is really hard to determine.
It is.
Time-wise, but I think at the very minimum, that heartbeat rule should be applied. If you can't figure it out by the time there's a heartbeat, then yes, you're going to have to carry it.
Boy, that is a tough burden to put on victims. And you can imagine why that doesn't happen. You can imagine why a victim wouldn't say to themselves, man, I better rush out and announce to the world, I've been a victim of rape and I'm worried about being pregnant. You can imagine why someone who is in an incestuous relationship, either consensually or otherwise, might not rush forward to go, hey, better do something. Better go take care of that. I could see why they'd want to keep it secret and think to themselves, I just hope this didn't work out against me. I mean, and this, Billy asked this question here. I'm going to ask you, Chuck. Do you have kids, by the way, that you know of, Chuck?
Yes, I have 2 kids and 5 grandchildren.
Daughters, sons?
One of each.
Okay, so what do you tell your daughter? Let's say that your daughter is the victim of a sexual assault. What do you tell her when she comes to you and says, hey, Dad, I was raped, and I'm pregnant now? What do you tell her?
Okay. If it was my daughter, I would say, keep the kid.
And she says, Dad, I don't want to do it. I can't do it. I cannot now have the rest of my life dictated by an act of crime. I just can't do it.
Well, because I know the way this is a very personal thing, but the way I know my daughter, she tried really hard to have her 4th kid.
Yeah.
If it turned out that she would have to have a 5th,
yeah,
she would do it. That's just because I know my daughter. And I'm not saying another father would tell their daughter the same thing, but that's a personal issue.
You would just tell her, hey, you're just going to have to suck it up.
And you know what? She would definitely, I guarantee you she would agree.
Well, that's
that's
an issue. I don't know how I have this. I just don't know how I have this conversation with my daughter. I mean, I feel like I could give her all the advice in the world, but at the end of the day, it is just very hard for me, especially with her being an adult. Even if she wasn't an adult, it'd be tough to be able to say, "Hey, I'm so sorry. Good luck."
No.
It'd just be
but like I said, that's such a personal situation, and being the Christian that she is, I know that she would be fine with that.
Chuck,
especially given how
I want to thank you, man.
Go ahead.
Great phone call. Thanks for having this candid conversation. And I respect that none of this seems to be an easy answer for you, because I think that's real. I think that's true. These are tough conversations to have. And, man, I respect you for this. Next time you call, I'm going to answer, "What's up, Chuck?" I'm just giving you fair warning. That's coming. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
All right, see ya. Hey, Chuck's line is open at 303-696-1971. Let me tell you about somebody, though, that also – a complete aside, by the way, if you know Dan Kaplish, you know he's a champion for pro-life start to stop across the board. This guy's made no secret of his feelings in wanting to protect the family and to protect the innocent. And he also has made a career of protecting victims. And so if you are a person whose life has been catastrophically changed because of the negligence or recklessness of someone else, you want to pick up the phone and call our buddy DJC. That's Dan Kaplish, the middle initials J. I think it's for joint. No, I'm kidding. He's also not a big marijuana guy, but he is also a fantastic trial attorney. This is a guy who I worked for, 15, 16 years ago when I was 10 or 11. And he taught me how to try civil cases in the courtroom. And my impressions from back then are that we never took a case because we thought it was going to be a big payday. We took a case because Dan personally thought it was a righteous case to take. He thought he could do some good for some people, whether it put a dollar in his pocket or a jillion dollars in his pocket. That was never our focus. And since then, he's blown up this firm. He's gone to he's got six attorneys in there. I think most of them are former prosecutors, including someone I'd promoted twice in my office. He's got a former Marine in there who I imagine is still pretty smart. The guy's name is Mike Kane. You know that's a joke. But he is the guy that you call if you're looking for someone to be a champion for you in the environment where you are the most vulnerable, and that is the legal environment where, I mean, the rules are so ridiculous. This guy knows them all. He's an expert in them. Give this guy a call. Give Dan a call and his team, 907-5003. People oils walked by and it completely threw me off. 303-907-5003. The other best way to get a hold of Dan is at his website, dankaplislaw.com. Kaplis is C-A-P-L-I-S, dankaplislaw.com. When we come back, we'll continue. Tons of texts, by the way, coming in. Somebody, though, asked the question, are you turning into one of those people that talks about pregnant people? I've never used the phrase pregnant person when I could have used woman. I know it's a pregnant woman. This nonsense about dudes becoming pregnant, disagree. And that's just me in science. I mean, you don't have to agree with me in science. Don't be a science denier. Don't be a gender denier. 303-696-1971 is our number. Going to cut away for a break. It's George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. It's me, David Letterman, right here on The George Show on 710 KNUS. Here's some texts that are coming in. Of course, a line open, Chuck's line, 303-696-1971. Someone responding, Chuck is not being reasonable. Most women would suffer through a pregnancy knowing it came from rape, and also having to remember that rape every time she looks at the said child. Look, that's legit, right? Like, that's the reason I asked about the daughter thing. I mean, if your daughter is, you know, pro-life start to stop, and I'm talking about in that Roman Catholic kind of way that there just isn't any exception for that, then I get it. Maybe it's a different decision. I just have to believe that when you're the person who is confronted with that, having carried that baby and make those decisions, if your faith is strong enough, great. If not, though, what do you do? What do you tell them? Because what Mastriano is really saying is after a certain point in the law, and for Chuck and I totally get this, it was 6 weeks, which is about the heartbeat period. I think he said the heartbeat. Do you call it murder? And is this going to plague Republicans heading into the midterms? Not here, not in Colorado, where we have the most liberal abortion law, I believe, on the planet Earth. I don't even think China has something like that. I mean, I can't find a country out there, Europe, all the countries in Europe, none of them have anything as liberal as what we have. Here's something else. I don't hardly ever hear anyone talk about keep the baby, but put it up for adoption at birth. I think that's a real alternative. I think it's one that you hear a lot of Christians advocate for, and non-Christians alike, I imagine, if they're pro-life. I still think that is a huge ask. But here's where I think I really appreciate Chuck's principles on this, and also Doug Mastriano's, even if you disagree with him. And it's this. If you think that that beating heart is a life and abortion ends a life, two things are hurdles you have to get over. One is you have to do what Doug Mastriano did. You have to call the ending of that life murder because you think it's a human being whose life has ended. So do we prosecute someone for those murders? And if so, who? Is it the doctor? Is it the mother? I mean, are you prepared to have that conversation with your neighbors and the public? Is that a winner for politics? And then the second part of this thing, when you talk about this, is that you can't have any exceptions. If you think that abortion is murder, how in the world can you have an exception for rape or incest or even life of the mother? Life of the mother may be a closer call because you say, hey, we have self-defense, we have these other things. But how do you do it for incest or rape? Wouldn't you say, yes, that's horrible, and we should provide you as many services as we possibly can, but at the end of the day, we don't use a criminally caused pregnancy to end that pregnancy. That's not a justification. How the heartbeat started is irrelevant. It's just we're not going to end it. How do you do that? 303-696-1971. Here's some text. George, awesome questioning. I'm very pro-choice, and this discussion is fascinating. I agree. But listen, there's another side to this, too. If you're a pro-choice person, you feel comfortable with the idea that we have a law in the state of Colorado that says halfway out of the womb, you could kill a baby with the feet still in and then say, nope, that's not murder. Do you believe that? That's the other side of this argument, because that's dumb. That's just fake. You are making it up. If you have created this artificial barrier of having to come completely outside of another body before you're going to recognize it as a life, that's dumb. We all know that's a baby. Here's how we know it. Mom gets in a car accident. Mom gets ill. Mom has complications. They can do the C-section and bring out a living baby. We don't say that's not a real person. So that's fake, too. This just isn't an easy conversation to have unless you're willing to do, honestly, what the 2019 Doug Mastriano did. And I'm not saying I agree with him. I'm saying at least it's a position of principle. You say, I can't have exceptions. It's got to be murder. And yes, we should prosecute people for murder. That part is really, really tough. Here's also, as an adopted person, if I learned my biological mother was forced to have me and put me up for adoption and I'm the product of rape or incest, that would mess me up. It's hard enough to know that you weren't wanted for whatever reason. And that's interesting. Also knew a gal who didn't know she was preggers until she went into labor. Oh my gosh. Baby was tiny and she had spotting through the whole thing. That is amazing. I wonder how rare that is. That is amazing. Here's one. Let's see. Lastly, I've never. Wait, what? Oh, I missed one up above. Oh, this is Joan. We've had an amazing turnout. She's talking about great turnout. Joan, yes, you're killing it for us. Thank you. It seems to me that the rape and incest argument is something that only pro-life voters are having. We live in a state that has made abortion up to the moment of birth legal. Perhaps we should do something about that first. Sure, it doesn't change the conversation I think that some candidates are going to be forced to have, not just in Colorado, but elsewhere. But I agree with you. That standard is ridiculous. The standard that says that if you change your mind as the baby's leaving you, that's what the law says. If you're changing your mind, you can kill that baby and it's not a crime. It's not even murder. It's not anything. But if on the way out, that baby's being born and somebody else ends that pregnancy, that's a crime. So it's just the desire for the life to exist. I've just never seen a law like that where someone else's value they place on that life dictates whether we honor it under the law. That doesn't feel like the Constitution. You know, the last time we valued some lives less than others, it was called slavery. We looked at African Americans and said they're worth 3/5 a vote. They're not the same as people. They don't have the same rights. And I'm not suggesting that abortion is the same thing as slavery. Okay, folks, so please don't go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over this. I'm saying, where else in the law can you see it where it's like the value we place on protecting a life is dependent upon how someone else sees that life? It just doesn't exist in the law that I'm aware of. Let me know. We need to change the narrative on abortion because both sides have valid concerns. The only way to come to a consensus is to decide which person's rights are more important than the others. Think about that. The mother or the child. We're going to value not just who wins or loses in a courtroom, but who gets to live or not live. And it's not necessarily the mother. It's the mother's going to live regardless in about 99.99% of these cases. It's whether or not that child gets to live based on the interest of one person, the value of one person puts on it. I just think that's interesting. Generally, I think the mother's rights are more important. That's the texture that's speaking. Let's get to the phone lines right now. Frank, you're on 710 KNUS. Frank, what do you think about all this?
Well, first of all, the notion that people think the way I do and maybe the way you do as far as not being able to kill a baby after it's born are extremists, that's absurd to me.
They're absurd.
The extremists.
It's absurd.
Yeah, they're the extremists. I mean, you know, and the truth is that they support, just for the record, I'm unaffiliated. I dumped both Republicans and Democrats a while back. But the truth is that, you know, they're killing babies for profit, too. And, you know, that doesn't come out very much because clearly the media doesn't cover it. But, again, our FBI is screwing us over because of indictments against, I forget the name of the group now, that Veritas, I think, that went after Planned Parenthood and took pictures. And they weren't concerned that they were dismembering babies, live babies, on the photo, but they were concerned that somehow that this group took a picture without their consent.
I know. Yeah, yeah. Prioritize your values.
Yeah. Extreme?
Yeah. I don't think our positions are extreme on this. I just think, and I'll leave you with this because we're running out of time, but I'll just leave you with this. Frank, do you agree with Mastriano that if you're a pro-life person, you've got to treat the termination of that baby after whatever that legal week thing is as murder, and they should be prosecuted, they being the moms and the doctors?
Yeah, well, I agree with following the law. If that's the way the law is written for that particular state, then that's what the law is. That's extreme. Following the law is too extreme for
people
nowadays.
No, I don't think it's too.
So,
it's
I mean, whatever
extreme.
The law is, you know, if the people of that state determine that, you know, it is murder, then it should be murder. I don't know, you know. I mean, me personally, that'd be a stretch for me. You know, there'd be a lot of maybe extenuating circumstances. You
right.
got to go through all of the details, find out what happened, which is, you know, the devil's always in details, as we both know.
Of course, and it's the details in the law that matter as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess short answer is, you know, I mean, there's real murderers out there who don't get, you know, don't get put to death. So,
Frank, almost no murderers get put to death. And would you please forgive me? Thank you for this phone call. I don't have a ton of time, but I do want to honor what callers I can. Frankie, thanks for that. Kim, I got about 40 seconds to give you, but I didn't want to get out of this hour without giving you a chance to make your peace. Say it.
Hey, I just wanted to say that one thing we don't focus in on is how we as women should celebrate the fact that we can carry life and that we are set apart and we are so blessed to be able to carry an actual human being within us.
So, Kim, knowing that, in light of that, do you agree with Mastriano that a mom who, after whatever that legally determined date is, that they should be prosecuted for murder if they have an abortion? And, Kim, I only got a yes or no from
you.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I don't think they should be prosecuted, but I think that the Republicans, in order to do a great job, I think they ought to celebrate women, celebrate
Kim,
women being set apart.
Kim, you got to forgive me. I am out of time here. Listen, Steve Wells, when we come back, George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.